This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
We have a huge announcement. We're going to talk about a church being invaded in Minneapolis. Ann Coulter is here. Sean Spicer is here. How are the midterms lurking? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. We're all tired of having to pay for things, right? I am, you are, everyone's tired of having to pay for things. Well, I have something really cool to announce before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. JesseKelly.com. It's a website, as you probably figured out. I want you to go there. I want you to put in your email address. We have something coming, and it's free. I'm not going to ask you for a dime. It's not going to cost you a thing. It's something you will enjoy. It will inform you. And like I said, doesn't cost you a thing. JesseKelly.com. Go, put your email address in, and we will keep you posted. It's going to be a good time. All right? Now, I want to talk about something else, because obviously the big story, one of the major stories out there, is a bunch of communists invading a church service in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul, they're twin cities, invading a church service in St. Paul and disrupting the worship of God. Here it was, some of it anyway. I know you're mad. It's all right. We'll talk about it in a moment. We'll play you some more in a moment. We're gonna pause on that for a moment and have a discussion that we have had before, but it's really, really, really important that we have that again. There have been all kinds of different societies and governments and religious belief systems throughout the history of mankind. All kinds of different ones. Some practice this, some practice that, some are monotheistic, one God, some, but we don't have to go into all that. There are some religions, though, many, but not all, some religions that do not and will not tolerate the presence of a differing religion. Many, many, many religions like that out there. Now, it's really important for you to understand a basic point. I want you to consider this a foundational truth. And when I say foundational truth, I'm not trying to sound like your college sociology professor. What I mean by that is simply this. If you don't understand this foundational truth, this is part of the foundation. If you don't get that, then as you build from there, you will always be confused and swaying and topsy-turvy. If you do not understand what I'm about to explain, you will be lost and confused and shocked time and time and time again. So let me explain. Communism. I know it's called liberalism or progressivism or just the Democrat Party now. It is not a political ideology. It's not political. It manifests itself in politics, but it is not political. It is a religion. It is a religious belief system. And not only is it a religious belief system, it is not one of those religions that tolerates the presence of any other religion. It will demand its practitioners, if you will, its religious followers, will demand that you pay homage to their God. You will not be allowed to be neutral. You most certainly will not be allowed to pay homage to a different God of any kind. These things are not permitted. You will go to the communist church. You will loudly, loudly shout your beliefs, or they will consider you an enemy. When the communists took over Russia, the Bolsheviks, this is way back in the day, early 1900s, Russia had a long, long, long history of Orthodox Christianity. That was the religion of the Russian Empire. All over the Russian Empire, you would have found Orthodox Christian churches. It was what they practiced. Now, the communists, when they took over, the Bolsheviks, when they took over Russia, immediately they began tearing down, burning down the churches, and slaughtering the priests. Oftentimes, they would slaughter the priests, not really quietly. They would do so very publicly. I could tell you terrible tales right now, tales of a priest who had his face sliced open into a new smile, ear to ear, after having that new smile sliced into his face. He was then marched through town so everybody could see him, and then he was buried alive. This is one of a million tales I could tell you. Why? What's going on? Well, in case you thought I was just coming up with that theory on my own at the beginning of this segment about it being a religious system and a religious system that doesn't tolerate other religious systems, the communists were quite open about it with each other at the time. The Orthodox Christianity, the Christian church tradition in Russia, was seen as a terrible, terrible threat to the new religion of communism because it would supersede the communist religion if it was allowed to continue. So immediately the churches were torn down, burnt down, the priests were executed and tortured in the most terrible possible ways because it was seen as a competing religion. Communism is not a political ideology. The modern Democrat Party are not political. They're liberal and peggy, progressives, left-leaning, whatever word you want to put on it, they are not political. That's why they have announced in poll after poll, they don't want to shop with people who disagree with them. They don't want to live around people who disagree with them. They don't want to work with people who disagree with them because they are the ultimate monotheistic religion that does not tolerate the presence of any other religion. And that's exactly why they did the exact same thing when the communists took over Spain. They killed the priests. They executed the nuns. They did the same thing. It's not just Christianity. In China, when Mao was having his cultural revolution, the Buddhist monks were slaughtered en masse. The temples were torn down. Communism is a religious belief system, not a political ideology. And if you don't know that, or you disagree with me on that, but you're right, you have your own mind. But going forward, you will continue to see things that shock you. You'll continue to say or at least think things like, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand why they would, I don't understand. I understand. I'm as outraged as you are about things, outraged about things like this that happened in that church.
As you can see, all these pretend Christians, all these comfortable white people who are living lavish, comfortable lives while children are dragged into concentration camps. You're living real life, nice lives with your lattes, doing absolutely nothing for your Latino and Somali brothers and sisters. You come here to a man wearing a suit. Is a preacher? Did Jesus wear a suit? Did Jesus profit off the words? No! Jesus would die with immigrants. Do not touch me. Touch me again and see what happens.
Hey, you can't. Don't be.
You are a fake Christian. Why are you not standing with your Somali and Latino communities? Why do I not see you out at Whipple every day protesting this attack on humanity? Where are you? You're sinners. You're pretending to be Christians. But we know you live an easy life, don't you? A very easy life while people are starving. Shame.
You can be mad. You should be mad. I'm mad. Disgusted. Saddened, even, that that's where we are in the country, of course. But if you are shocked, confused by what you're seeing there, then it's because you haven't understood, you haven't accepted the foundational truth that communists themselves will tell you, the foundational truth that I just told you. We're dealing with demons, a competing religion. A competing religion that will not allow your religion to continue at all, unless, of course, it is co-opted, you see. Don Lemon, he was there fanning the flames of all this, but we can skip past all that. It doesn't matter. Don Lemon, he used to be a reporter, then he got fired, and now he's dumb, and he goes around posting rage bait all over the place. So we got all that. But he interviewed one of the reverends there. Now, before I get to this interview of the reverend, I wanted to remind you of something else, a little bit of history for you. When the Bolsheviks were slaughtering all those priests and burning down the churches, as we just talked about in Russia, they ran up against something. And they kind of anticipated this, but they ran up against something. You have this huge empire, millions and millions of people in the Russian Empire, and their tradition is church. That's part of their tradition. That's part of their culture. Their parents went to church, took them to church. Grandparents went to church, took them to church. That's part of their tradition. So it's going to be something that the people are going, you're going to have a hard time if you're a communist breaking people away completely from the church. So the communists figured something out. We've talked about this before, that communism will oftentimes not make you do a U-turn in the highway. It's dangerous. You'll be unwilling to do so. What do? They give you an off-ramp. Hey, you don't have to stop. You don't have to turn around. Slow down a little. Just veer off the highway. You see, they decided, in order to keep the people calm, they decided to leave some churches in place. What churches were left in place? How would they go about choosing which churches would be left in place? Well, it was really quite simple. You simply find the churches whose leadership you can co-opt, find the churches where you can get a priest who'll get up there and pretend like the word of God he reads from on Sunday is, of course, telling you to support the communists. Find the churches you can conquer and co-opt, leave those into place, giving people a church, a tradition they can still enjoy. Don Lemon interviewed this reverend.
Tell us why you're doing this.
This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there. And then we disrupt business as usual. So that's what we're about to go do right now.
Ice out! 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 Ice out!
Demanding justice for Renee Good and letting them know that this will not stand. They cannot pretend to be a house of God while harboring someone who is directing ICE agents to wreak havoc upon our community and who killed Renee Good, who almost killed a six-month-old baby. Enough is enough. I am a reverend on top of being a lawyer and an activist, so I come here in the power of the Almighty God.
You see it all over the country. I went to Boston recently. I think every single church I drove by had a tranny flag hanging from it. Some lesbian pastor, priest, pretending to be a woman of God, co-opted by the communists. You see it in black churches across the country, black liberation theology churches. Praise Jesus for Democrats! All over the country. The churches that have been co-opted by the communists, those are the only ones that will be left alone. Now, by the grace of God, we have people like Harmeet Dillon. Sounds like justice, hopefully, is coming for those savages in St. Paul.
We will pursue charges in this case. I see various crimes that have occurred. Exactly what they are, I'm not going to flag, but the FACE Act has been mentioned as one of the predicates there. In other cases, the Biden DOJ used the Klan Act conspiracy charges tacked on to the FACE Act in the case of protests outside abortion clinics to bring much longer sentences. So there are a number of tools available.
I trust Harmeet. Let's hope we get long prison sentences, longer than the ones given to pastors for praying. We'll talk to Ann Coulter about so many things next. Before we get to Ann, let's talk about your cell phone service. Let's talk about not funding the companies who fund all this street animal activity. Remember, it's not only paid and organized street communists. They need money. And they get money from corporate America. Do you have Verizon? AT&T? T-Mobile? I'll tell you what, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to go look up your mobile company, and I want you to go look up what they did with Black Lives Matter. You know that was a Black Lives Matter group in that church, right? Did you pay for them to be there? I didn't. I have pure time. I'm on the same towers. I pay less, and I didn't pay for that. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
And in the ensuing months, we've seen BORTAC teams, people dressed up, tactical gear, Apache helicopters, descending the streets all across America, mass men, without providing identification, and we're in court on that. I was proud to sign the first anti-masking bill in this country. He is trying to stoke a civil war in this country. It is a disgrace what he's doing in Minneapolis. It is a disgrace what he's doing all across the United States of America, terrorizing communities.
Sounds like he's got a little bit of a cold. It's going around. I say that to everybody when they get a cold. Joining me now, Ann Coulter. I mean, you don't even have to introduce Ann Coulter. You've read all her books. Her Substack is anncoulter.substack now. And, okay, everyone gets the Democrat rhetoric, civil war and Nazi and that, okay, all that other stuff. Let's fast forward past all that. The communist propaganda campaign against mass deportations, is it working?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think it should be. I mean, the media is very powerful, but thank God we have the internet, and especially Twitter. I mean, obviously you get the feeds you follow, but things that we never, ever would have known about in the past, we're seeing all over the internet, the gang rapes, just the brutal, hideous, you know, machete murders. Biden brought in 20 million illegals. It's going to take a while to get them out. And at least in the first 6 months after Trump was elected and around the time of the election, even polls by the New York Times showed that a majority of Americans want all illegals deported, not just criminals. Somehow Democrats slipped that in to Trump's campaign promises, and it was never there. He promised to deport illegal aliens, both in 2016 and in 2024. Obviously they're going to concentrate on those who are convicted. Would be a lot easier if the states would cooperate and turn them over. But you know, often the difference between an illegal alien who is a convicted criminal and one who is not is about 1 week. I don't think we have to wait for people who have not been vetted, who are, as Trump says, coming from, you know, the emptying of the prisons, sending Venezuela, Cuba, the rest of these countries, sending their criminals, their mental cases, their drug smugglers, sending them all to our country. We have a general idea what kind of people Biden was bringing in. So get rid of all of them. We don't have to wait for them to commit a new crime here.
Yeah, get rid of all the foreigners. It should be a fairly simple concept. Somehow the GOP hasn't ever gotten fully on board with this. That's, I guess, probably a conversation for another day. And can you explain to people, I've tried endlessly, can you explain to people why the communists are so in love with foreigners, and as soon as they get power, like they had under Joe Biden, they'll bring in as many as they possibly can. They'll fly them in. They'll give them an app for their phone so they can schedule the invasion of your country. For normal Americans, I know you get it, obviously, but for normal Americans, they can't understand what's happening and why it's happening. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And boy, did we see it full force with the dementia patient. It was really the hardcore progressives running the Biden administration. And I mean, I think their purpose was put a down payment. Yeah, okay, this is going to annoy Americans, but once we get them here, possession is 9/10 of the law. Just keep bringing them in. And maybe it'll work. We don't know that it's not going to work yet. I mean, please God, Trump, keep the deportation planes going. But he's deported, a few hundred thousand, 600,000, 700,000 from the interior. I'm not complaining. It takes a while. But Biden brought in 20 million. I mean, unless we have another 8 years with J.D. Vance or some worthy successor, Biden will have changed the country forever. They may not be able to vote right away, but you got them in the country and they will start voting. And I mean, you say communist, and I think there is beyond just, you know, the Chuck Schumers wanting, Democrats could dominate this country forever. Definitely there's an electoral motive, but also there are a lot of people, as we know historically, Americans who hate America and want to see it fail. I mean, why? We'd have to talk to their shrinks. But I mean, throughout the Cold War, they were siding with the Soviet Union. They were swallowing all of the Soviet propaganda whole. It's now been proved that the whole no nukes movement was invented by the Soviet Union to get us to disarm because they couldn't keep up with us. Ha ha, Reagan didn't listen, and the Soviet Union is no more. But, you know, all these lefties going and fighting with revolutionary groups in Latin America and China, they hate America. Because I sort of see the psychology, but again, we need to check with their shrinks. They want chaos, criminality. They don't want peaceful order and prosperity, broad happiness that was achieved by the United States of America. And this is just a continuation of what they've always done. Now they can stay at home and wreck America from within by just bringing the third world in.
And I guess maybe we should try to be the shrink for the purposes of our conversation here, because people have a hard time understanding why, for instance, you know, you have some crazy communist white woman, setting aside the ones that are paid, so many of these are paid commies, but the one who's trying to keep the serial rapist in her city. It's just so divorced from reality. And I've spoken to a communist like this from Chicago who, till they're blue in the face, they'll defend people who pickpocket. They say, well, it's no big deal. It's just my wallet. I don't care. If people think it can get bad enough that these people will change their minds. But, and some of these women will be raped and they will not change their minds. They'll think they deserve it. It's a level of sickness people don't get.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, remember famously Molly Tibbetts, whom herself had, I think it was on a tweet, tweeted out, I hate white people, raped and murdered by, I think it was an Ecuadorian illegal immigrant. And to continue your train of thought, her own father said, it's worth it for the Mexican restaurants. No, that their brains should be, you know, extracted and studied in a lab someday. It's not suicidal empathy, because they don't care about anybody else. I hate that phrase, suicidal empathy. It makes them sound like they're such good people. They're so good that it'll even hurt them. Well, yeah, it'll hurt them. But I think the expression that was waiting to be invented and was invented a few years ago is virtue signaling. They don't care about other people. They don't even particularly have empathy for the immigrants who have come here. I mean, the immigrants came here to get away from the people they were living with. So bringing in all those people isn't helping the immigrants either. They wanted to live in America, and liberals are busily trying to destroy the country they thought they were immigrating to. It is to say, I am better than these other white people.
I find the question of culture with these people to be fascinating, because they will tell you America doesn't have a culture. Of course, we're multicultural, or they'll crap all over American culture. This country sucks. Of course, it's evil and racist and all the other crap. But then they'll talk about bringing in click from some godforsaken African dump with 8,000 rapes, and they'll tell you till they're blue in the face that Somalia is a wonderful culture, but it's not. It's a horrible culture, and the problem is the people in Somalia. It's not one or two warlords there. It's the Somalis that make Somalia a world of crap, and it's so hard for communists to say that. Why?
Both those points just drive me absolutely nuts. And just the idea that we have to be so gentle and careful, and you don't want to be, you know, some jackass Yahoo American and stepping on the indigenous people's culture, and don't step on this tiny little plant. But American culture, screw that. That's not worth anything. And does America have a culture? Well, for one thing, we've inherited all of Western culture, the greatest culture that has ever existed in the entire world. That's apparently hate speech to say that. Look at the case of Amy Wax, the professor at University of Pennsylvania Law School. She wrote an article, she's the smartest living person. Just saying, Western culture is so clearly superior to any other culture, and that's when they started trying to strip her of her tenure. But as for specifically American culture, I mean, I just wrote about it this week with the death of one tiny little sliver of American culture, with the death of Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. That is a band that could only have come out of America with its individualistic spirit and self-reliance, and just the music heritage of R&B and country and even a little jazz and then rock and roll thrown in. There, no other country could have produced that band, or, I mean, the touring, just the whole thing about that. That's a tiny little sliver of American culture. How about the whole cowboys and Indians culture? The Clint Eastwood, that's American. Cowboys are American. And I'd also throw in Hollywood culture, though I hate to give credit to any group of immigrants. There is this one group of immigrants, very, very small group, Jewish immigrants, who literally just created the industry of Hollywood. Although some of their offerings of late may not have been much to write home about, for years, I mean, to this day, no one can do what our entertainment industry does. Most people learn around the world, learn to speak with an American accent from watching American movies. American style, invented by Ralph Lauren. There's a very specific Connecticut, Philadelphia, mainline type style. And I haven't even mentioned anything from the Revolution and the Freedom and the Declaration of Independence. We have a culture. It's the best in the world. It's worth defending.
Amen. And I've never been disappointed in you before until I found out you like the Grateful Dead. I mean, rest in peace, Bob Weir and all that, but gosh, that band, that was not good. And I love you. Come back soon. Christianity. Is it under threat in America? We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, we'll dive into the politics of it. Let's talk about chalk. Let's talk about natural herbal supplements. You see, testosterone's dropping. I'm sorry. And if you're a man watching this, it's dropping for you. But I do this. No, it's not you. You don't understand. It's not your fault. It's in the water. The estrogen is in the water. We have all this mass quantity of estrogen in the water. We shower in it. We drink it. That's why we're losing 1% a year. We've lost 50% of our testosterone in the last 50 years. We have to take steps, active steps, to reverse it. We can't cross our fingers and hope for the best. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day to make sure I'm ready to go all the time. I would highly recommend you do the same. C-H-O-Q, chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. We have to steel ourselves in our society now. And I want to say before we get into this, I'm just going to take a couple minutes and talk about propaganda and communism and ICE and things like that, that I'm sorry that you have to live in this kind of a country and that I have to live in this kind of a country. It's not what I want. It's not what I want for my sons. I have two teenage sons growing up in this world. I don't want them to be in the midst of a communist revolution. I don't want them to have to have these discussions that you and I are having right now. I don't want that, but I don't get what I want all the time, and neither do you. This is the world in which we live. And so it's time to talk about steeling ourselves, hardening ourselves, if you will, against propaganda. Communism itself, they've never been popular. It has never been popular. Even in the Soviet Union, after the Bolsheviks took over the country, it was 25% of the population. Three quarters of the Russian population wanted nothing to do with these people. Because it's never been popular, propaganda, censorship, endlessly lying about everything all the time, is just a base part of the religion. Now, you have witnessed this, you've experienced this here in America multiple times in your own life just in recent years. Maybe it was Donald Trump colluded with Russia. How did that look in practice? How did it look? And I know you didn't fall for it. I'm not worried about that. But for the normies, the normal people in your life, how did it look every single night on the news? Russian collusion, all the hallmarks of a Russian intelligence operation. Every night on the news, social media, endless just accounts of Russian, Russia, Putin agent, Russia, Russia. Then it ends up snowballing from there, from the media, from social media. It goes into your friends, your family. Now they're talking about it at Thanksgiving. Hey, I heard Donald Trump was a Russian agent. Have you heard that? Donald Trump's a Russian agent. It ends up getting a life of its own. It's powerful. You watched it with George Floyd. Oh, man, that poor black guy killed by a racist cop. A racist cop! There's so much racism. Racism! Endless, over and over again, every night on the news, every single show, social media, endlessly. Soon it bleeds into the population. Then it starts to affect people. You're watching it right now. The Biden administration alone, we won't even talk about what happened before them. They brought in as many foreigners as they possibly could. The estimate is 20 million. We'll never know. We had countries like Venezuela. We already heard Ann Coulter reference this earlier. We talked about it before. They emptied their prisons and sent them all here. They're here now. They drove by you today on the highway. Did you know that? They live in your town. They raped somebody in your county last night. They're here. And we have to get these people out. And there's no polite, nice way to get these people out. There's no polite, nice way to remove someone from a place where they want to be. If I walk in your house tonight, your apartment, and I sit down on your couch, I walk in uninvited, I sit down on your couch and I put my feet up, you ask me to leave, I say no. You tell me to leave, and I say no. Well, you're all out of polite options. From there, it's going to require violence. Maybe you yourself will have to do it. Maybe you'll have to pick up the phone, call the cops. They'll show up and they'll have to do it. But when someone comes into a place uninvited and will not leave when asked, violence is required to remove them. And right now, you're watching every single night, you turn on the news and you see communists saying things like this.
Well, look, I think ICE needs to be totally torn down. It has to be, created in the image of what people want, right? And what does that look like? From my experience running in Arizona, in a very hard, hard state when it comes to immigration issues, people want immigration enforcement that goes after criminals, right? And focuses on criminals. And immigration enforcement is actually focused on security and not the goon squad that has come from Stephen Miller and Donald Trump. One that issues warrants, one that doesn't have people masked and acting like, we're a third world police force. What we're seeing right now is not what we want from ICE. And we can create and have a force that's actually focused on immigration and on security and not this type of intimidation that's happening right now.
They're putting it out there every day. You have to harden your heart. You have to steel yourself against it. Otherwise, it will work on you. Well, I mean, maybe it should just be the bad guys. Get them all out. And it won't be nice. And it won't be pretty. Talk to Sean Spicer about the optics of all this in a moment. Before we do that, let me talk to you about potato chips. I'm very torn. I have this internal debate at all times. Do I go corn chips or potato chips right now? Corn chips or potato chips? There are going to be chips involved. You already know about Massa Chips. Did you know about Vandy Crisps? Did you know that, well, they're amazing and you can eat them guilt-free? Three ingredients on the potato chips? That's it. It's just potatoes, salt, and beef tallow. No seed oils, none of this cancer-causing garbage that's listed on the back of your chip bag, and they're fantastic. Multiple flavors. My kid goes nuts about the one that tastes like Italian dressing. I like the smokehouse one. I'm more of a barbecue thing, but imagine just sitting during watching the game and just hammering a whole bag of chips and not feeling bad about it. Go try them. VandyCrisps.com. Use the code JesseTV. Get you 25% off your first order. We'll be back. Midterms. Man, isn't it wild that we're already talking about the midterms? We just had the November election, right? But no, it's the season. It's time to get it ramped up. Now we found out, according to Politico, and look, they're a disgusting leftist rag anyway, but that they're going to make ICE a central topic in the midterms. Is that smart for Democrats? Is it a mistake? We'll talk to Sean about that. Joining me now, Sean Spicer, host of the Sean Spicer Show. And now the man has a book coming, Trump 2.0. We'll talk to him about that in a moment. All right, Sean. Look, everybody has a story now, right? Hey, I talked to my brother's cousin's uncle, and he's thrilled about the deportations. And then the next guy is, I talked to my uncle's wife's dog's aunt, and she's mad about the deportations. What does America think about the deportations?
There's three camps, Jesse. If you are a MAGA-loving patriot, then you love what's going on here right now. This is President Trump fulfilling the promises that he made to the American people on the campaign trail. And I think, by and large, you're probably pretty happy with him following through. No more BS Washington excuses about why you can't get this or that done. President Trump's delivering. The blue, what's it called, blue sky world where these folks live in and don't believe that you have to obey certain laws, they hate it. So let's just, for, you know, the sake of discussion, call that 40% on one side and 40% the other. Whether it's 15 or 20% that's in the middle, I think is going to be where this election is decided. There are going to be some people in that 20% that like what's happening. There are some people that don't like. And then there's, I'm going to guess, between 5 and 7% or so that are probably persuaded, meaning that they're going to be listening up until September 1st about where, who they think is doing a better job getting the country in order. And I think that's where the White House needs to worry more about the politics and some about, and less about the policy. Everybody recognizes the strides that President Trump has made to get this country safe again, to cut our borders, to get people who are illegally in the country out. But like, just to be pure political here, when you wake up and see all these left-wing outlets that you were just referencing every morning talking about how people are under assault by ICE, it's not true, but it doesn't look good. And to the average person who works their tail off every day, comes home from work, and then just turns on the television or clicks on their internet, they are seeing an image of the Democratic Party and their friends in the media want to show you, one of chaos. The administration, frankly, just needs to be sensitive to that. And I think this weekend shows that the Democrats went too far. The idea that that clown, that disrespectful, disgraceful clown from CNN, Don Lemon, went into the middle of a Sunday service is what's going to push the issue back to the Republican side.
Okay, you say the administration and Trump administration needs to be sensitive to that. What does that mean in practice, Sean? What do you want them to do that they're not doing, or that you think that they might do? What do you want to see? What do you think that you should see?
So, like anything else, it's not a question of whether it's right or wrong. And I don't want anyone hearing my voice saying, oh, well, Sean's saying that we need to go soft. Not at all.
No, I got that.
Do what you want to do. But when the media is going to show images of people getting ripped out of their car, you need to go, okay, how do we prevent that? Maybe they need to be more tactful in terms of where their targets are, right? So what happens is, right now, they just need to outgame the other side. That's it, pure and simple. They need to go, okay, if this is how the other side's going to perceive us and project us, then we need to think smarter about what we're doing. And maybe we go in more surgically and get purely bad guys out there. There's a great video the other day of an ICE agent saying, we're going to get a child molester. Do you really want to stand between us and that? Like, that's a super helpful message to make it very clear which side you're on. Are you on the side of criminals that have broken our laws, are harming our citizens, or are you on the side of law and order? And And so I think that the messaging and the imagery just needs to be thought through more. We know what they're going to do. We know they're going to get in the face of these ICE agents. We know they're going to try to create the image of chaos and of members of the community being under assault. So we just need to be smarter, and we need to think through how can you do an operation that maybe doesn't give away the position as much, that they have proper training to de-escalate. But I'm just saying, it's not a question of that they're wrong. It's a question of we just need to be smarter than the other side because we know what their tactics are.
All right, let's go back to the voter idea on all those things. You were talking about the squishy middle of normies that we have to worry about, which is unbelievably frustrating, but that's politics. That's the way it is. So these people, you know, some are going to like it, some are not going to like it. Talking about the people in the middle, are they going to vote on it? Do they vote on it? You know, there are issues that I'm super, super passionate about that I understand that people don't vote on. I'm extremely passionate about abortion. I despise it. I want it outlawed in every possible way. That's not an issue that drives people to or from the polls anymore. Yep. It just does not. Is this something, maybe I'm normie, maybe I'm uncomfortable with the ICE stuff, but maybe I like gas prices. Is this, are they going to vote on it?
It's a great question because I use the same analogy that you do all the time. I think that here's the deal. If you're uncomfortable with ICE, for the most part, you weren't going to vote for us to begin with. I mean, if you didn't think it was wrong to come into this country illegally in the first place. And by the way, I just have to say this. There is a huge bitter irony of the fact that the leaders in Minneapolis and Minnesota want to defend people who are here illegally and talk about their rights. And yet the people who are legally in this country enforcing our laws, ICE and other federal agents, they want to, quote, get them out and stop them from committing atrocities. And I find it so rich. But I think the question, Jesse, when you think about the Senate is a 2-seat majority for Republicans, technically a 3, I guess. The House is down to basically a 2-seat majority. You only need a little bit of people to care. So this is enough of an issue in enough places is what I would argue to you, is that when you have 30 seats in play, if you can get 5 seats to really focus on ICE or immigration or creating the image of chaos and a government out of control, that's enough. You don't need 50 seats. You don't need 10 seats. You need 2. And so to answer your question, it's maybe not that much, but the reality is you don't need that much, and that's the issue.
Yeah, that would be the issue. Tell me about this book, Sean, Trump 2.0, because I got to be honest, my friend, I am so much happier with 2.0 than I was 1.0, where I was pulling what was left of my hair out the first time. And now, obviously, I have some complaints. Everyone does. I'm pretty freaking happy, Sean. What's going on?
Yeah. So I was in Trump 1.0, as you know, and I'm willing to sit back and say, you know what, these guys got it right. But part of what I wanted to do in the book, and I got to thank President Trump for writing the foreword to the book, is to examine what I say are the people, the policy, and the processes by which Trump 2.0 will be historically different. Now, here's the thing, Jesse, that I think people have to understand. President Trump, for the second time ever in history and the first time in modern history, is the chief executive for the second time without his terms being sequential. So what happens when you're out of office? Maybe you don't do anything, but in the case of this, in case of Trump 2.0, they plotted and they planned their return. Who were the right people? What were the policies that we were going to execute when we come back into office? What are the processes? Just like I just explained to you on immigration, you red team it. Where are the forces coming at us? What do we need to overcome? What are the judicial responses that we're going to have to overcome? What are the legal opinions? What are the congressional hurdles? What are the deep state hurdles? What are the media hurdles? But I went in and basically analyzed why this is different and going to be more successful. There are groups, there are people that are central to why Trump 2.0 will be historically consequential because of the 4 years that they had to plot and plan their return.
Plotting and planning. How about that? Actual preparation. How about that, Sean? All right, my friend. Thank you. By the way, Trump 2.0, can I buy this thing yet? It's not out till March. How do I get this book?
Well, Jesse, I'm glad you asked. You can go to Amazon right now and pre-order the book. So if you just, or I've got all the links on my social media, but just go to Amazon and search Sean Spicer or Trump 2.0. And every pre-sale really helps us get that number up. I got to beat Corinne Jean-Pierre. I mean, you know, top 200,000 is my goal.
Please let the man beat Corinne Jean-Pierre. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. All right. We have light in the mood. I didn't know Grandma Vodka was such a devoted deadhead. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. I'm not a Grateful Dead fan, as you found out earlier, talking to Ann Coulter, but I understand that, you know, that they're this iconic band, and maybe you love Grateful Dead, and that's fine if you have no taste, but apparently Grandma Vodka is a huge deadhead, and I do know enough about Grateful Dead to know that it's a big alcohol, druggy scene. Not necessarily my thing, but it's big for those people, and I guess I shouldn't have found it surprising that Grandma Vodka, Nancy Pelosi, was a big Grateful Dead fan. And credit to her for keeping it authentic. She got up to give a speech, and she had apparently been having a good time that day.
Bobby Weir was not just a musician, magician too. He understood something essential about America, that our strength and our improvisation, our diversity and our willingness to learn from one another. Bobby really loved democracy. He loved our country. And you know what he wanted everybody to do? Vote.
It was the giggling that got me. You have another shot here, please? I'll see you tomorrow.